Welcome to the HMO Experience, the UK's only HMO-focused property podcast, where every Monday, Matt, Jamie and Steve will inform and inspire you about everything to do with HMOs, rent to rent, and how to set up and grow a successful HMO business, whether you're just starting out or you're already on your way.
Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris and welcome to episode 21 of the HMO Experience podcast. I am here with Jamie. Say hello, Jamie.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good. We are without Steve for this episode, unfortunately. I normally give you some little introduction or some fancy wording around why he's not here and I have to look after his face, so I won't be doing that this time around. But I will be jumping straight into the details of this episode. We are going to be talking about referencing, holding and security deposits. So I know, Jamie, that you guys try not to take a deposit, whereas we have started to take a deposit. So I think to kick us off, if you wouldn't mind sharing the processes that you guys do with regards to referencing and and insurance and taking the deposit or not, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, no problem. So recently in the UK, for those of you listening to this podcast or watching this on YouTube, there are recent legislation changes which meant that the maximum amount of deposit that you can take to rent out your rooms or your house is 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's changed recently. Okay, so therefore, the maximum you can now charge is 5 weeks. So the reason why Steve and I have always preferred not to take deposits is really two main reasons. The first is it's cheaper for the customers who want to rent out our houses or rooms that they have to pay for a month or 5 weeks worth of rent plus the first month's rent in advance as well.
Yeah.
So we use that from a bit of a marketing point of view. So our marketing, our adverts will say things like no deposit, and that's pretty cool. It's cheaper for them to come and rent out our rooms. That's the first thing. But the main reason we do it for ourselves is to protect our own business. Let's just say you're renting out a room for £500 a month, and let's just say that the customer has moved in and they don't pay the first 2 months worth of rent, you are already £1,000 down. If you then have a deposit that covers you for the first 5 weeks of rent and you secure that deposit back, it pays you back, you're still losing money. As well as having to go through the whole process, the legal process of trying to get someone out of the property and get the money back. So that's been the key thing for us. Likewise, if a customer, for whatever reason, causes more than 1 month's worth of rent of damage, then again, you're not covered. You've got to put your hand in your pocket to pay for that damage.
Yeah.
So we prefer, rather than taking a deposit, and we always have done, we prefer to do rent guarantee insurance. So it benefits the client, but it also benefits us, especially if you were doing a strategy like rent to rent an HMO, whereby you're guaranteeing the rent every single month to the owner of the property or the letting agency. You're taking on all the risk. So if Steve was here, you'd be saying, we mitigate against that risk by things like rent guarantee insurance. If we don't get paid, we've still got money coming in, it's covered by an insurance policy, so we can definitely pay out the landlord or the letting agency the amount that we've agreed to pay.
Okay. And the rent guarantee insurance guarantees missed rental payment.
Yep.
Does it also make provision for deposit or... is that a separate policy that you need to get, or do you just discount the fact that at the end of the term, if you need to carry out any works which are the responsibility of the tenant, then you will absorb the cost?
There are two main insurance products that, that I'm aware of. The first is if you don't take deposits, you can get the deposit element, let's say 5 weeks worth of rent, insured. So you've got the money you can pull back on. We don't do that. The second policy is what we do, and that is rent guarantee insurance. So let's just say Matt moves into house number one in one of our HMO rooms on the 1st of January. He then goes through the credit checks, he passes, then we get the rent guarantee insurance. Matt's room, not Matt, is insured for the rent to be guaranteed for the next 12 months. So if Matt, I know this, you wouldn't do this, but if he didn't pay me, for example, the rent, or he did a runner, or there was damage in the property, I know my insurance policy will pay out because that room has an insurance policy against it for 12 months.
Okay.
So that's what we do.
All right, cool. Okay. And is it expensive, that sort of cover?
I don't think so. It's around £120 for that, for a one-off for 12 months. Okay. So if you think about the cost of your deposit or the cost of potentially not getting your rent paid, it not only covers you for lost rent, it covers you for damages, and it also covers you for legal protection. Mm-hmm. So if you have to go and evict a customer, a tenant, that could cost quite a lot of money and time and effort. Now, the insurance company we use or the policy that we use, they go and do all the legal process themselves. We don't get involved. Mm-hmm. So if we have to evict someone, which we've never done to date, but if we did, then the insurance policy would take over that whole process. We get our money paid all the time, and the debt that's been incurred by that missing or non-paying customer gets chased by the insurance company, not by us. Oh,
that's pretty good.
I love it.
It's very nice.
So I think 120 quid, 130 quid is a pretty good investment for that.
Yeah, for sure. So we started off just taking deposit rent deposit insurance. So we went down a similar sort of route where when we started, we were advertising rooms, no deposit, on the basis that we were going to get rent deposit insurance. And that was, at the time, a cost that we could pass on to the prospective housemate because the rules hadn't changed by then. I think the regulation changed on the 1st of June last year. So since then, the 5 weeks limit of the deposit has been in place. And also, obviously, not being able to charge tenant or housemate's fees. Since that came in place, we've now changed to charging a one-week security deposit. So as part of our process, in episode 20, we talked about, conducting viewings. And when a person is interested in taking on the room, a good point that you made was obviously asking them there and then whether they're interested, yes or no. So if they are interested, then part of our process is they need to complete a reservation form. So we've got a link online. Just ask for their name, email, mobile, date of birth, and their preferred check-in date. And they are also asked to pay this at this stage. It's a holding deposit, a one-week holding deposit.
Okay.
Now, one thing which we've adapted for the holding deposit is I think when we were putting offers forward over the summer on potential rent-to-rent properties, all of the estate agents implemented having to sign a holding deposit form, which says that you pay a week's rent now, and then we will do our best to expedite you having moved in at the end of, I think, the 14th or 15th day, so you complete your tenancy within that period of time.
Right.
So we have a similar sort of approach in terms of you pay your holding deposit when you reserve your room. That then triggers the referencing. That then triggers, whether or not you're accepted. Obviously, if you are accepted and you sign your tenancy agreement, that 1 week holding deposit gets converted into a security deposit, which we then insure with the tenancy deposit scheme.
Okay.
So we retain the deposit. We've got wordings as part of the application form, the reservation form, which kind of covers us in terms of taking the holding deposit and returning it if they fail referencing or they're not a suitable applicant.
Sure.
So now we have all of our housemates pay a 1 week security deposit, and we use the tenancy deposit scheme, their insurance back scheme, where we keep hold of the money, and obviously we pay for, I think it's £17 or 20, £17 if it's under 500 and £25 if it's over 500.
Okay.
For securing that deposit. Because we're also members of the RLA, or the newly formed RLA, and
NLA, yeah.
We get a discount on that. So I think we actually only pay £12 per deposit, which is great.
That's cool.
And then obviously your deposit is protected. You need to make sure you do that within 30 days of having taken that 1 week holding deposit as a security deposit.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, the process on exit in terms of getting the deposit back and, you know, making sure everyone verifies. But that's something that we'll cover off in a future episode when we talk about tenant offboarding or customer offboarding.
Sure.
So for now, that's sort of our process in terms of taking the deposit. Obviously, it only provides security for a week.
Yep.
So where you were saying, you know, if they don't pay for 2 months, you know, we're not really secure in that respect. Also, you have the benefit of, for marketing purposes, saying, oh, well, you know, we don't charge a deposit, which is quite attractive because there's lower entry costs.
Yeah.
I just feel that psychologically, what we found is when people have committed a sum of money that they intend on getting back at the end of the term of their tenancy, in most cases, and we haven't had any adverse experiences yet, thankfully, you know, they will behave to the extent that they'll make sure, you know, rooms are left nice and tidy when they check out, so they can get their deposit back in full. So that's kind of been our experience today.
Yeah, sounds good. I guess the key options for those of you either watching this on our YouTube channel or indeed listening to the podcast is you've got two different options, both of which work. Both have pros and cons, and you can decide which one's best for you. The great thing is you've actually got a choice here. So thing I will say is that I didn't tell you the company that we use for ours, which is a bit of a mistake. So the company we use is advancedrent.co.uk. We'll put a link into the notes of this podcast. They do two things for us. The first thing they do is they do all the referencing and the tenant checks. So we want to leverage and outsource the majority of the tasks in our business.
Yeah.
And we're not experts in that bit. So we literally, like Matt does, we get another partner company to professionally do all the credit checks. That includes the right to rent and the affordability and everything else you need to do. On the back of that, once they pass that, then we have it flips over into the rent guarantee insurance. Now, one thing I didn't say is that not everyone passes the tenant referencing checks.
Mm.
So, for example, if you've got someone who's applied to rent out your rooms and they might have little or no credit history, they might be fresh out of university, for example, just got their first job or whatever, then you can't get rent guarantee insurance on them that easily. So then we ask for a guarantor. Typically, it's a friend, family member, or parent. And again, we've got to reference that those people are guarantors too. And in some of those cases, we might then have to revert to using a deposit in the same way that Matt does.
Mm-hmm.
So just a couple of different scenarios there for you. But yeah. Advanced Rent at Tokyo.uk is a great company. We've been using them for a while now.
Yeah. So we use Open Rent for referencing. And the reason, A, it's relatively cost-effective. I think it's £20 for either an express or comprehensive reference. The express one gets turned around within a day. The comprehensive, I think, is up to 72 hours, so it's still pretty quick. I think Open Rent use RentGuard as their actual facilitator. And off the back of that, you can get rent insurance as well, because I've just had a quick look on the basis of the conversation we've just had. You can get rent insurance as well, so which is pretty useful. But yeah, I think referencing is important because obviously you want to make sure that you know, you have the right profile, the right sort of candidate for your room, who's going to pay your rent. So even though you're de-risking the situation with rent deposit, rent guarantee insurance or a security deposit, you still want to make sure that from the outset you're pretty confident about you getting into your property.
Yeah, and there's no guarantees. They could be the best potential customer on paper. They could pass the reference checks, the affordability checks, and everything else.
Yeah.
It's never any guarantee. So, as Matt says, there's an element of risk here, but try and mitigate against as many of those risks as possible.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I don't think there's much more to cover up.
No, that's it. We're done. Now, Steve was here.
You get into detail. We'll make sure that Steve does all the HMO hacks for this episode and gives you an additional load of content that we just failed to cover. But no, guys, look, if there are specific questions or pointers that you need with regards to referencing and deposits, then by all means, make sure you leave us a comment, head to our Facebook page, YouTube channel, you know, even on Twitter and Instagram if you want to reach out on our personal pages. But I think for now, we will call it a day. We will get Steve to do the HMO hacks on this. And we'll probably add those hacks to at the end of the episode so they can see all the bits that we missed. Sorry, Steve. I'm sorry. But yeah, we will call it a day for episode 21. Join us for episode 22, where we will be covering off the check-in process. So at the moment, we've only covered off taking a deposit and referencing in general. But as I'm sure you will know if you're already operating an HMO property, or you will learn, there is more to it than that. So these are the bits that we'll cover off in episode 22. But I will say, if you want to continue the conversation, make sure you head over to Facebook and join the Property and HMO Forum. Also look out for hashtag HMO Hacks on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Make sure you head over to the HMO Experience Facebook page, leave us a comment, leave us any questions. Likewise on the YouTube channel. And for now, I will say goodbye for me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the HMO Experience. Don't forget that all of the resources mentioned in each episode will be available on our website, www.thehmoexperience.co.uk. We regularly update our website with new content to help you along your HMO journey. So make sure you check out www.thehmoexperience.co.uk for more details. Also, remember to join our online community by liking the HMO Experience Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel.